But the World Bank, in the meantime, says once we emerge from the pandemic, the South African economy will likely be weaker than it was pre-pandemic, with growth expected at 4% this year and 2.1% next year. This is according to the body's latest South Africa Economic Update report. And Wolfgang Fengler, who's lead economist at the World Bank, part of the team that drafted the update, joins us now with greater insight on the projections and what could be done to improve actual outcomes. Thanks so much, Wolfgang, for your time this evening. So according to the World Bank report, even though South Africa is set to emerge from the crisis weaker than it was going into it, you say government's crisis response has been strong. So talk us through what's influenced that stance or that view you hold.
Well, Alicia, thank you for having me. And obviously, South Africa is not the only country that will exit the crisis weaker than it went into. And the key question is indeed not what happens 2021, where there will be a rebound, but if that rebound could be maintained and if there could be a higher growth trajectory than we currently project. That is the ultimate question for South Africa's economy. The reason why we think that the crisis response of the government was strong, while the overall results are not yet reflecting that, are that South Africa has really deep structural weaknesses in its economy, in its entrepreneurial ecosystem, in its vibrancy of the economy, and doesn't unleash the potential of that's out there. And because it went into the crisis not so strong, it just was hit harder. And the government tried its best to respond. And I think, in short, one could say the response was based on science. The response was adjusted, you know, in each of the waves. And now it's a very painful situation. But if you compare internationally, South Africa did as good as it could.
Yeah, well, we'll be getting into the detail of that restrained potential in just a bit, Wolfgang, and how we possibly unleash that faster than we have been. But let's look at your growth forecast, because it's expected to hit 4% this year, 2.1% next year, and this if things stay on track. We're now faced with a prolonged level 4 lockdown. We're faced with riots, looting, state of emergencies being declared as well in the name of politics or political battling. How much risk are you pricing into your equations?
We did actually price in some risk, and we are obviously one of the ones who just launched and adjusted our forecast compared to other forecasters who have actually higher growth projections. So we did price in some degree of the third wave that's now hitting the country very, very hard. At the same time, as I mentioned earlier, and as you saw also from the president's announcement yesterday, South Africa, like other countries, now found some way to have some businesses at least adjust, and obviously those who are more digital, those who have don't need as much physical proximity were able to restart, and South Africa is also benefiting from strong global growth, especially growth in China and the U.S., and that's why you get this middle scenario. 4% looks strong for in a South African context, but after -7, it's not a major rebound, so as mentioned before, it might be slightly lower. It could be also a bit higher, which some other forecasters have come out with. But so 4% did price in some risk along the lines of the third wave.
Wolfgang, where we are hinging on a global recovery here to fuel the kind of recovery we do see domestically, how are you rating South Africa's ability to leverage off that, given you know, some of the infrastructural deficits that persist, for one, that see us not fully immersed into the global value chains? I mean, just last week we were talking about deficits over at Transnet and how that's not seeing us get product to port fast enough.
Absolutely, Alicia, and I think there are three interrelated issues. One is the global economy itself, and that basically increases the price of some key commodities, and even everything else being equal, South Africa is not benefiting from that. The second is the core part that you highlight, which is if South Africa would reduce and remove its infrastructure bottlenecks, and that, by the way, also includes the digital sector, it could benefit much more from the global recovery. And as you, if you look at the global numbers, China, Asia, other high-income, peers of South Africa are actually growing at higher levels. So South Africa shouldn't then rebound at 4, but 6 or 7% if these things were addressed that you say. And then thirdly, you have more the broader new economy opportunities. Well, actually, especially around Cape Town, you see opportunities emerging, and that actually you could do with the existing infrastructure, but that digital is the key.
Yeah. With that kind of risk that's prevalent, while entrepreneurs may be part of the solution to solving the job crisis locally, it's not hard to see, right, Wolfgang, why self-employment represents only 10% of the jobs in South Africa. So how does one turn this scenario around in a crisis, no less?
No, this is the ultimate question, but many other countries have actually used crisis to turn the ship around, and I think the government now has been trying to make advances to have a more what I call pro-business stance to address some of these structural issues that you just outlined before on energy, on Transnet, on the transport sector more broadly. And I think a key element is more that also that message to South Africans and to the world that South Africa is open for business. South Africa is, will create everything possible that young entrepreneurs, and I mention young people because they are the most suffering under the crisis and under the joblessness and the unemployment, will have an opportunity to grow and to find their business and to create their business, because that's most likely what the normal path to employment would be. These young people are unlikely to work in the public sector. They're unlikely to be working in a big company, but they can, like in other countries, create their own business.
Yeah. Are you happy with the pace at which we're seeing reforms in policy, Wolfgang? Because that's a large part of the structural impediment, right?
Well, it's not our job is to help all the countries we work in, and South Africa is a shareholder of the World Bank, so we are working in partnership with the South African key all stakeholders. We have a lot of university involvement, and I think people would acknowledge that not just the crisis response, balancing lives with livelihoods, but now trying to focus at least. That's I think the key thing. First is the message to the world and to South Africans: we want to make it easy to invest. And let's not forget the key investors are these young entrepreneurs, are other South Africans who says, I want to form a business and put my future into this country. And I think the latest developments are going at least in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, let's leave it there, Wolfgang. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Wolfgang Pengler, who's lead economist at the World Bank.